This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members alike. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Milwaukee and Madison. The semi-private golf club's grand opening will be on June 20th. Find out more on its website at clubatlaclabelle.com. And we welcome you into Talking.Golf. And Gary, for the first time, as we welcome in Gary D'Amato, my colleague here at Wisconsin.Golf, I'm Rob Hernandez. It looks good for the grand opening at the club at Lac La Belle. We have golf starting this Friday, and I would hope that we still have it come June 20th.
Yeah, Rob, as you were reading the promo spot, and thanks to Club at Lac La Belle for sponsoring us, I was thinking a couple weeks ago we would have thought June 20 might get scrapped, and all of a sudden we're playing golf starting this Friday, and even earlier at some courses around the state, which we'll touch on. But yeah, it looks like that June 20th date is going to go, and I'm excited about that.
As we wrapped up last week's podcast, we were kind of wandering and wondering what would our week be like this week, and we're going to stop doing that because it got to be way, way too crazy, especially, what was it, on Tuesday or Wednesday, when we knew that there was a conference call with the AmFam Championship that they were going to cancel. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But then at the same time, Governor Tony Evers was explaining the extension to his Safer at Home order, and it included restoring the opportunity to golf with limitations, which we'll sort of dissect here as we get going. Gary, it was what we were all waiting for. Are you surprised it came? And what was your reaction when you heard the news?
I was a little surprised it came, Rob, that early, meaning April 24th. I thought golf would be still shuttered for at least a couple more weeks. It was exciting for me to hear, and yet I talked to Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley last week, and I sort of echo his concern that golfers really, really need to obey the strict obeyance of the social distancing guidelines and do everything the right way. Or, you know, if there's a bad optic, and Chris Abley said, you know, you take some photographer rolls by and takes a picture of eight guys congregating around the clubhouse, and it winds up on a website or on a newspaper front page, then golf's going to shut down again. So I go into this cautiously, and hopefully golfers are going to really pay attention to the new rules here.
And we'll talk about perhaps some that are trying to take liberties here in a minute. But let's first start, Gary, with some positives. Outline here six basic things that Governor Evers' order spells out. The use of golf carts are prohibited. Social distancing requirements must be observed unless the players reside in the same household. All tee times and payments must be made in advance, online, or over the phone. Clubhouses and pro shops must remain closed. Tee times must be spaced to avoid multiple foursomes from clustering or gathering on the course, and driving ranges must be closed. These are much more restrictive than other states. Minnesota opened over the weekend, and golf carts were allowed, one to a cart, again, unless people were from the same household, and driving ranges were open. My daughter played on Saturday, Gary, and said that the golf balls, the range balls were at the range. So whether they were just on the house or factored into the price point that she paid, she wasn't sure. But again, in Wisconsin, these are the rules. These are the rules for Wisconsin, and they have to be respected. I think one other thing that needs to be emphasized, too, is that food and beverage will not be available. Don't bring it in. Don't try to, force someone to put a beverage cart out on the course. And if you're a golf course owner, don't do it yourself. But I cannot underscore enough, Gary, I hope golfers and golf course owners especially are smart here as we restore golf here on Friday.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Rob. I think that's the main concern from people who operate and own golf courses, that, you know, they're getting an opportunity here to get some revenue coming in, and they certainly want to abide by the rules for the most part. I think we're seeing that, and they want their golfers to abide by the rules. And I, I do feel I feel for guys who own people who own standalone golf ranges, which aren't allowed to open. You know, there's a lot of them around the state, and these guys are hurting. And I you know, I can't understand why you couldn't observe some of the same rules, especially for standalone ranges that have, you know, ball dispensers where you put in a coin and, you know, you get the balls that way, and where interaction could be kept at a minimum and social distancing could be obeyed. I guess I'm going out on a tangent here, but yeah, Rob, I agree with you 100% that golfers need to follow all these rules or we're going to be back to being closed.
I think one thing that maybe we could mention, I talked to a golf course owner last week and I asked them, you know, this tee time spacing, what does it mean for you and how does this look? And the number he quoted me was he's going from a max number of rounds per day of upwards of, you know, close to 300 down to 190 by going to 12-minute tee times. And some courses are going to 15-minute tee times. I don't know of anyone that's any less than 10. The idea here is to get golfers groups out and then, you know, not have that, you know, that persistent pushing that you sometimes have at various, you know, congestion points in the golf course, and hopefully that'll be you know, followed as well. But you know, 300-190, Gary, is a pretty significant number, especially if you're talking about that cluster of tee times in prime time, Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, when you know, a lot of these courses can get their premium rate for a round of golf.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking 100 fewer golfers at an average rate of, you know, $35 per golfer, you know, that's $3,500.
Well, it sure is a huge loss in revenue, Gary, when you look at it that way. But as you say, at least they get the opportunity to get some revenue going here to start the 2020 season. We're still fairly early, you know, on in the ball game, even though we've lost this month of potential revenue. Now, Friday, the courses that didn't open over the weekend, we'll get to that in a minute yet, can open. You've got big plans. Tell us where you're going and what you expect once you get there.
Ernie Banks would love me, Rob, because we're going to play two. Let's play two. Yeah, I'm looking forward to a doubleheader. Hopefully, if the weather cooperates, playing 18 holes in the morning at Grand Geneva Resort and then doing a drive-through lunch somewhere and then heading up to Geneva National and playing 18 there in the afternoon. Now, we're supposed to get some rain Friday. But I'll bring my rain suit, and hopefully we get all 36 in. And it'll be fun to see golf in the new era, how it's played, what it looks like, what it feels like. And hopefully golfers around me will be social distancing, because I know I will be.
Now, a lot of golfers have been encouraged to bring, for example, a bottle of water, since, again, as we mentioned, that won't be available in the clubhouse or on a beverage cart. What anything, any essentials you might tuck in the golf bag that you wouldn't normally otherwise do?
Well, normally, usually I carry my clubs when I walk, but I think doing 36, Rob, I'm going to bring a pull cart. And I've got an extra one. So I'm playing hopefully in a threesome, so I'll bring my extra pull cart in case someone else shows up without one. But yeah, I'll probably put a couple energy bars in the golf bag and a bottle of water, and that should get me through, and a drive through lunch somewhere, and I think I'll be fine.
All right, let me check here. Googling Culver's in Lake Geneva. I think it might be a little bit out of the way, but I can probably find you a nice little sub shop somewhere. You know, a lot of anecdotes over the weekend, Gary, you mentioned carts. I talked to a guy up in West Central Wisconsin, and the course that he's at, they're getting a deal together with Click Gear, one of the cool, you know, golf cart manufacturers, the push cart manufacturers, and they're going to sell carts to their customers at cost, which I think is very admirable, recognizing that not everybody, that a lot of people are being inconvenienced by not having the opportunity to rent a motorized golf cart. So that's kind of cool. There's a lot of neat stuff going on around the state as people prepare to get ready for this. But at the same time, one of the stories that we had to tell at the end of last week, too, was how golf got kind of thrown in the middle of perhaps a political maneuver down in Washington County, where the newly elected county executive, he's currently the county administrator is his title, gave his courses the go ahead to open. And so just like that, The courses in Washington County, Scenic View Country Club in Slinger, Washington County Golf Course, Kettle Hills Golf Course in Richfield, Blackstone Creek in Germantown, and Honeycore in Kewaskum, were all open for business starting Saturday. And I don't like seeing golf caught in the middle. I think we all feel this is something that, you know, probably could have started immediately after Governor Evers made the announcement. But your thoughts, Gary, on seeing that Washington County was open for play, and then we subsequently learned that Shawano County had also entered the fray that was essentially started with Dunn County at the very outset of the Safer at Home order.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation there in those two counties, especially Washington County closer to home, which apparently had quite a few golfers go out and play those courses in the county there. I don't begrudge them. I don't want to make this into a political debate, but I wish kind of that they had held off until Friday and joined everyone else in the state when Governor Evers says it's okay, because I think it just gave some ammunition to the non-golfers and the people who are against golf course openings to point at that and say, see, look, they're already breaking rules. The golfers are going to break rules, and why are we letting this happen? And I just I wish they could have waited one more week, but they didn't, and they had a lot of play, and a lot of people hopefully did things right.
I did get an email from someone in neighboring Waukesha County who found the whole thing perplexing. And even if he had the opportunity to drive 3 miles over the border into Washington County and play, but he stated he was not going to be playing until the 24th, like you, Gary, weather permitting. And, you know, again, I think the vast majority of people in the state really respect the governor for making this possible and are going to do whatever they can to set a really good example here. Wisconsin is a state has set a good example in the quality of golf that's played here, the volume of golf that's played in a short season. They just simply want the opportunity. And I really don't like what I'm seeing on social media, Gary, where you've got large courses who feel they can get away with something that maybe a mom and pop can't. And then the mom and pop course absolutely is relying on this revenue and maybe their livelihood going forward. If they were to have to close again, you know, that may be taken away. There's a lot of what ifs here. And I hate to, get into that, talking about that kind of thing, but you don't want anybody to come away from this in a bad situation. And again, to go back to our tone at the start of this conversation, be smart and be appreciative of the opportunity you have starting Friday, and don't ruin it for the rest of the folks, right, Gary?
Oh, that's right. I think we can all agree with that, Rob. And like Chris Abley said when I talked to him last week, he said when he opens the courses in Milwaukee County, whenever that is, he's going to be sitting back saying, talking to himself and saying, don't screw it up, because he's worried that, that someone's going to call in a complaint that he saw golfers congregating on a course somewhere. And so, yeah, I echo your sentiment, Rob. Let's do things the right way so golf courses, when they open, can stay open.
A couple things that have happened since we chatted last, Gary. The biggest, clearly, the AmFam Championship in Madison, which normally on a podcast of this nature would be a headlining topic. And not that it was overshadowed by everything else that was going on, but it certainly took its place in the long list of things that we've been able to write about here in the last week. The AmFam Championship canceled, but the $2.8 million in money that was supposed to be donated to charities will be donated, and it will be donated immediately. It, to me, Gary, all things considered, a win-win for everybody. And I don't know what you thought when you heard the news, but we kind of talked last week, a cancellation was within the realm of possibility, and it happened.
Yeah, I think as time went on here, and especially in recent weeks, we sort of really started suspecting that the tournament was going to be at the very least postponed, and turned out it was canceled for the year. But to your point, Rob, about the money, the $2.8 million being released immediately to charities, I think that says a lot about American Family Insurance, Jack Salzwedel, and Steve Stricker and his foundation, that that they're releasing that money. They didn't have to do that. They could have released some money to charity. They could have scaled back. but they didn't release the entire $2 million that they would have put into the tournament to charity. So very admirable thing to do.
And if you're scoring along at home, the 2021 AmFam Championship, the tournament dates June 11th through the 13th, with a lot of activities beginning as early as June 5th with the University of Wisconsin Carbone Cancer Center's Race for Research. And then, of course, all the pro-ams, the clinics, and then the concert on Friday night also will be carried over to 2021. So if you were hoping to see a little Big Town and the Bodines at Breeze Stevens Field, you can put that on your calendar for Friday, June 11th of 2021. And that's the other thing, Gary, I think admirable here, too, is that schedules were filling up fast here for 2020 as tournaments scrambled to reschedule and find different dates. The PGA Tour, the very day that the AmFam Championship made the announcement, introduced another round of tournament reschedulings. And I think I counted now there's 60 events that the PGA Tour sponsors at various levels that have been either canceled or postponed between the four or five tours that have made those announcements. And again, we all want golf to be played, but we're starting to run out of room to play tournaments here as we look towards the middle part of the calendar year.
For sure, Rob. And we're hoping and praying, too, that, you know, there's not a second wave of coronavirus and that, you know, the schedule has to be redone again and we lose more events. So really crossing our fingers. I think anyone who appreciates golf and loves watching the PGA Tour and the LPGA and the other tours, that hopefully, you know, we go ahead with this modified schedule. And I was just looking, Rob, and it appears that the first tournament back on the schedule that will allow spectators is the John Deere Classic, the tournament Steve Stricker won three times. Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting in early July, whether we I would imagine that one of us would try to get down there and at least spend a day or two down there during the John Deere, if they're spectators, to see what that's like.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things where somebody has to take the lead at some point. It'll be interesting to see when they allow spectators back for anything as a country. I know out here in California, the governor said that he doesn't expect there to be large gatherings before September, which has put the PGA Championship at Harding Park in San Francisco in jeopardy of being one of those tournaments that might have to go on without spectators or be moved, depending on what tournament officials believe, the PGA of America believes to be the best option there. But again, you know, we've talked about, someone asked me the question last week about what would you be support the Ryder Cup being played without fans? That's a hard one for me, Gary, because I feel that the spectator involvement in that situation is a lot different than any other tournament. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I just don't think you can play the Ryder Cup without fans, Rob. It's become such an integral part of that event. The atmosphere, the buzz, and the excitement around that event is largely fueled by the galleries and their cheering and their partisan chanting. And it's one of the things I think that puts the players on edge. And we see players who, you know, fold under the pressure or rise to the challenge of playing in front of those kind of galleries. I think it's such an important part of the event. If there are no spectators at the Ryder Cup, I just don't see it going forward and being played.
Well, we'll see what the powers that be have to say about that. And again, one of the many stories that we're following here as we go forward. The other thing too, Gary, as we look forward to the next week, and again, we're not going to speculate as to what might happen. We'll talk about some of the things we know to happen. I've got a story coming yet today. The Wisconsin PGA will go forward with their junior tour registration beginning at 6 p.m. tonight. I had a nice conversation earlier this morning with Andy Landenberger, the junior tournament director for the WPGA. And he did tell me subsequently that they have decided they will go to a process where it makes all registration payments pending. So it holds the junior golfer's spot in a tournament without charging them for the tournament entry fee. And then when the tournament is a go, they will process the entries. Again, whether it's Wisconsin PGA, WSGA, Wisconsin Public Links, any of the many providers of tournament golf opportunities, they are still in a holding pattern to see exactly how the return to golf might impact what they do in terms of offering tournaments. Tomorrow, the WIAA will meet the Board of Control and determine what many believe to be the ultimate fate of the spring sports season. And it nobody's really projecting that to end well, Gary. And I just with school being canceled in the physical buildings for the rest of the year, all instruction now will be done online. I don't know. I just don't see a way that they can play a tournament series. I think they could with golf, but I doubt that they could with some of the other sports with all the travel that's involved and trying to do the social distancing. I think it'd be hard to, you know, make one opportunity available for a single sport if you're going to cancel the tournament opportunities for another. So I think we know where this is headed, don't we?
Yeah, you're right, Robbie. You can't, even though golf probably could be done and done safely, with no school and with the other sports likely being canceled for the year, I don't think you can let golf go forward. And even if they did, I mean, there's so many headaches. I mean, they would not be playing a state tournament at University Ridge. They'd have to find an alternate site. And, you know, it's such a potential mess that I agree with you, Rob. I don't think it's going to be a happy ending, unfortunately, for golf.
And if you want to read a story that's going to bring a smile to your face, go to our site right now. We have posted in the main spot Gary's story on Jerry Kelly reacting to the American Family Insurance Championship being canceled. And the defending champion gets to extend his reign a whole nother year, and he's relishing that opportunity, isn't he, Gary?
He loves it, especially because he can, you know, throw some text messages Steve Stricker's way. You know, those two have known each other for many, many years. Their families are close, and they have a really good relationship. And don't think Jerry didn't love it when he won Steve's tournament, especially winning in a playoff in which Steve was involved in that three-man playoff. So, yeah, he gets to tweak Steve for another year that, hey, I'm the champion of your tournament. And it's all in fun. And Jerry's looking forward to getting back there and playing next year, that's for sure.
I'd love to see those text messages. The defending champ here. I just have an idea for the tournament. Yeah, that would that's going to be the longest year of golf for Steve Stricker. We also, of course, have that ongoing story with the bull in Sheboygan Falls. That Dennis McCann, who's been all over that story, reported last week that the prospective buyer, a businessman from Milwaukee, Scott Molitor, had withdrawn his offer to buy the bull. So we're expecting more on that this week. Gary wrote last week about how Milwaukee County at this point not jumping in head first with the Friday opening. So that's a lot of courses, Gary, down in Milwaukee that may or may not be ready to go come Friday. And but I would assume that at some point they would open.
I think, Chris Abley, the county executive, said that he anticipated making an announcement Wednesday and hopefully knowing, giving a date for when the courses would open. And I have a feeling, Rob, it might be sooner than later. So cross your fingers, golfers out there, that the county courses will be opening soon.
And then I got an email from Mike Gaspar at University Ridge. Of course, one of the things that prompted the AmFam Championship to be canceled was the fact that a lot of mass gatherings on the UW campus, the cancellation of those had been extended through the end of June, which limited options for the tournament. However, Mike said that University Ridge itself may have an opening date, again, hopefully sooner versus later, and probably with some perhaps more restrictions than other courses around the area. But we hope to know about that yet this week. Of course, University Ridge, one of the great courses in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm sure a lot of people chomping at the bit to go play there. And if you're chomping at the bit to go play anywhere, we're working on our golf course openings list again. We have two different areas in our story on Wisconsin.golf, the ones that are currently open by county. And then once that expires, we'll go back to our regional listings of golf courses alphabetized by city, which ones are open, which aren't. Not everyone is planning to open immediately Friday. A lot of people, Gary, need to get the technology to be able to collect tee times online. Some of the things that maybe the average golfer doesn't think about, but there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes to be able to make Friday a go and to make it a go seamlessly. And some courses are better situated to get there than others. And hopefully once that's all worked out, we'll have a full complement of courses, because with those reduced tee times means the reduced opportunity to play an individual course. So maybe go try a course that you haven't played in a while. That might be a good option, huh?
Absolutely, Rob. And, you know, there was quite a bit of snow on the ground as of a few days ago in the northern half of the state. So some of those courses might not be ready to open anyway, correct? Even on Friday, even with the governor's orders that they can reopen, I would think that a lot of courses in the northern part of the state still need another week or two. I'm not sure, but that would be my guess.
So far, I've gone up as far as Trap River Golf Course in Brokaw. If you haven't played there, Gary, it's right off of, not right off, it's off of I-39 north of Wausau, which I think might revert back to Highway 51. But it is just north of Wausau, and they are planning to open Friday. But so far, that's about as far north as I've gone. I think there's a bunch up in the Eau Claire area, north of Eau Claire, that are planning to open. I have not yet, my search has not yet gotten me as far north as Hurley. So, and I think you're right. There are a number of courses up there that are still trying to wait for the snow to melt. And, you know, the year before, I think I was, you know, May 4th, I was at a high school tournament up in Spring Valley, Wisconsin, watching Tyler Leach. And there was a nice pile of snow behind the last green that he played. So, yeah, you just never know, and we may not be out of the woods yet with that weather. So we'll hope for the best. I hope that you get to play Friday. That's my wish for you, Gary, is that you get out there and get to play your Ernie Banks doubleheader.
Thanks, Robin. Unless it's pouring, I'll be out there. I don't know if I'll be joined by the other people in my threesome, but I'll go alone if I have to, as long as it's not coming down in buckets.
Well, I appreciate your time here this week again. Talking Dot Golf, sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle. One of the oldest and most beautiful courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members alike. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Madison and Milwaukee. The semi-private golf club's grand opening will be June 20th. You can find out more at its website, clubatlaclabelle.com. Gary, always fun talking. Enjoy the round, enjoy the walk, and we will find out more about your round next week when we talk again.
Sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, this is Rob Hernandez, and this has been Talking Dot Golf, sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle.